You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
What a gorgeous day in eastern Iowa. It's beautiful outside. 81 degrees. Can't beat it. Great to have you aboard. It is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM at 5 minutes past the hour of 3 on this May the 23rd. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Isaac here as well with us today. Trying to come up with great ideas. We thought we had one. Came up a little short. Isaac, you get a gold star today, but then... Hey, what do they say? The best laid plans of mice and men often go astray.
At least I'm trying. That's all I can say. I've tried, and if you don't try, you'll definitely fail. So,
all right, keep thinking.
That might have been the peak there. I can't. I don't want to set myself up for failure. That might have been all I can come up with.
No, you're fine. I have confidence in you. I have confidence
nothing
in you.
Beats an
I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
Nothing beats an inside joke to start the day.
Yeah, nothing does. We're trying to come up with show prep for Thursday, and we'll get to this in the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, but we had a great plan, and then it fell apart. But, hey, we're going to have a great show today, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and in perpetuity. Got a good one for you today. Cal Eldred's going to join us. We're going to talk Major League Baseball with Cal, and that'll be coming up in just a little bit. And really looking forward to that. We do that on Tuesdays every other week. Cal, the former major leaguer and, of course, Kansas City Royals pitching coach. We're going to talk with him about the latest in the world of the MLB today. We'll get an update on state tennis as well coming up in just a little bit. Emil's Hideaway scoreboard for you. And more here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And... did you survive last night, Mark? The Lakers going down, and now we got the resolution on the whole Aaron Rodgers situation very early this year, so we need to have something to fill the void. So why not have LeBron James, after the game last night, come out and say, oh, I don't know what my future's going to be. Oh, baby. Did that light fireworks?
Yeah, he loves some uncertainty, that's for sure. And I hate consuming local programming with something that the national network deals with all day long.
And for the next 3 months, ladies and gentlemen, until he decides.
But what is he, 38 years old?
Dude's still good.
Just scored 40 points in game 4 of the playoffs. Lakers are gone. Bon voyage. Not going to miss them. Denver's really good. And we'll see if the Celtics survive tonight. That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Will the Celtics win tonight? Down 3-0.
Down 3-0.
Yes or no?
Must take all four. We'll see if that starts tonight. I mean, we could have, you know, the finals are scheduled to begin on June the 1st, no matter what. That is not going to change. So, you know, if Miami wins tonight, I mean, we could have a situation. We don't have any NBA basketball for a week. Then we can all concentrate on America's team, the Florida Panthers, who went up 3-0 last night. I know, Isaac. You scoff. They have a chance to sweep again. Brooks Koepka was there last night in a Florida Panthers sweater. How can you not enjoy playoff hockey there? So Florida with the win. They're up 3-0. Vegas and Dallas will play tonight in game number 3 of their series. If you're a hockey guy.
It's quite a story. It really is. An 8 seed, much like Miami is in the NBA. And makes you wonder, you know, about the regular season. But... it's a fun story.
I asked, in fact, after the show yesterday, I asked Spencer back in the sports office that very question. And I said, does it mean anything, the regular season in hockey and in the NBA? And I'm a hockey guy, love hockey. Not as big an NBA guy. I'm a college basketball guy. People know that. But you got number 8 seed America's team, the Florida Panthers, doing what they're doing right now. Boston sets a record for the regular season, and what they've been playing golf for 3 weeks now. Doesn't mean anything, right? It's whoever gets hot at the right time. Now, Denver, the Denver Nuggets, by the way, congratulations to the Denver Nuggets, who are going to the championship round for the first time in franchise history. All that lost as soon as LeBron said, I don't know what I'm going to do. By the way, LeBron likes to be in the spotlight, everybody, if you haven't figured it out by now. And this is a way for LeBron to stay in the spotlight. Correct? Thank you, Isaac. Isaac says yes.
I don't know if that's his intention, but in terms of underdogs, I mean, we've seen it in multiple sports, baseball. How many wild card teams have been successful?
They get hot.
They don't win their division in the regular season, NCAA basketball tournament.
Connecticut this year.
People came out of nowhere. So that's up for you to decide. Does a regular season mean anything?
No. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Phone line as well, 319-366-1600. And love to hear from you today about your thoughts about last night's game or tonight's game. Do you miss the Lakers? Isaac doesn't miss the Lakers not being in the playoffs.
I don't even know. You said that LeBron James loves attention. I don't even know if it's his fault. When you've been covered since high school, being told that you're going to be you're the chosen one and you're the king, I don't know that it's particularly his fault that he loves attention. He's just always been given attention in a national spotlight.
That's a good point.
It's just kind of how he's grown up, so he's just kind of used to having the attention.
Very, very well put. Very well put.
Now he's got his sons to think about.
Bronny's going to be playing college ball next year. If he does retire, it's going to cost him a bundle of money.
Which I'm sure he can afford. Anyway.
I think he's fine. I think he's fine. There are speculation. Well, he's going to retire for 1 year, watch his son play, and then come back. I don't know if that's going to be the way it's going to go. I think he's going to be back next year.
I don't take much of short-term comments like he made last night. It was very innocuous, really.
Well, and it's right after, I mean, your head is spinning. And first question you get always, and it's not only LeBron, it's others, hey, what's next year look like? I don't know. Let me get a chance to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those situations. I think he could have put it differently, but he set off the firestorm last night.
I think Isaac had a really good point. He's grown up in the spotlight, much as other athletes have, and some take it another step. I personally like LeBron. I like what he says, what he represents. I think he's been a credit to basketball. Now he's had a couple missteps here and there. But that was a great point by Isaac, I thought.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Yes, congratulations to Michael Porter Jr., who's got Cedar Rapids and area ties. His mother, of course, is a Becker. Grandson of the great Arlo Becker. And, yeah, how about that?
Yeah, his mom, Lisa Becker, former Miss Iowa basketball. And Porter came out. He was injured at the start of his career, was he not?
Correct, yeah.
And now he's back with it and doing good things.
Yeah, so we got a local tie there. Way to go. Way to go. With,
Michael never lived here.
The Denver Nuggets. No, did not. Did not. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Cyclone Tim saying no wonder players are doing the load management during the season. Be ready for the playoffs. That's where it's at. Fans lose out in the end. We'll gladly continue to go to the minor league games. Very good. You look at the Lakers and the Heat. Both teams are in the finals a couple years ago, and both better teams in the seeding. Most teams in the playoffs could make a run. Go Nuggets. Just a fun team to watch and watch them finally win one. I'm rooting for the Nuggets. Doesn't mean a whole lot, but that's my...
Yeah, I mean, they're a fun team. And I think a little bit, despite being the one seed, a little bit disrespected all year, just not the center of attention, didn't get a ton of national coverage. So it's nice to see Jokic and that team just prove everyone that we're legit. We're those guys, sort of thing.
Not a lot of championships go Colorado's way, right? Some.
In the NFL, they do pretty well. They do okay.
Yeah. 19 years of flopping is very hard on a body. I kid. Says 186. That was a very interesting game last night. I watched a good part of it and listened to some of it as well. And there were some very interesting calls, I'll say that, early in that game that went the Lakers' way. Denver bench got a technical and kind of turned things around a little bit. And Denver started playing defense. They started playing defense because they played none in the first half.
I think the bigger storyline for the Lakers is AD was just a disappointment in that last game. He did not show up on either end, I don't think. I think Jokic, particularly in the second half, Jokic really bodied him in the second half, really got into him and was able to find space in the lane and finish at the rim pretty effectively. But offensively, Anthony Davis, just too many no-shows throughout the playoffs, I think.
Scott and I were talking earlier, this Denver team, aside from Jokic, and Jamal Murray's really good as well.
And playing well.
But not many, you know, star-powered names on this roster.
Yeah, just guys who know their role, fill it pretty well. You know, 3-and-D from, like, Bruce Brown or Aaron Gordon, I think, was really crucial in that game 4 yesterday. He, you know, knows his role as somewhat as to make up for Jokic's deficiency on the defensive end. And, yeah, they just know what they're supposed to do. Kind of similar to the Heat. They know what role to fill, and they fill it very effectively.
1907 is still watching Michael Block highlights. I don't blame you, 1907. He's going to tee off Thursday at the Colonial. Looking forward to that, and I think a lot of people are looking forward to seeing what he can do this week. He had to ask his boss for another week off. Which was really cool. It was in the video as well. He just turned around. He was with him. Came to Sunday, at least, at the PGA. Turned around. Hey, can I have another week off? Yeah, sure.
He's got an exemption into the Canadian Open. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, he's in there, too.
And the Canadian Open.
Yes, he's got exemptions now for the next two. So he may not be back in the pro shop for a while. Would you... Did you see that he charges $125 an hour, which is not bad, which is not bad for a lesson with a top flight PGA pro. And I mean, I got to think when he gets back to the pro shop, his list is going to be pretty full, right? If you were anywhere near Southern California, I think you're going out and getting a lesson from this guy.
Yeah, just to be around him. He's such an engaging guy. I think I read he would have had to do more than $2,125 lessons to earn what he earned at the PGA Championship.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk baseball with Cal Eldred. We'll shift gears here, and we're going to do that in a little bit. Going to talk to Randy Krejci. He's going to update us on what's happening in state tennis here momentarily. Get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, which will include the Iowa Hawkeye baseball team. And we will... get you that. I think most everybody knows what happened. Right now, they are in the top of the fourth inning of the second game in Omaha, and it is zip-zip between second-seeded Indiana and seventh-seeded Illinois. Then I asked you a question earlier, Mark. Would you rather play the Big Ten tournament at a stadium the size of Vets Stadium here in town or play it in this beautiful facility, large facility, but there may be 70 people there.
Yeah, and without Nebraska, you know, playing, Nebraska brings the fans in Omaha, understandably.
Understandably.
I think Iowa had a decent representation of fans.
I was going to probably have the second most.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's kind of tradition, but maybe it's outdated.
Well, it's a newish park, so, I mean, I get it. You want to play at a beautiful, beautiful venue. But, man, it's just looks weird. It just looks really
weird.
You know,
Isaac, the Little League World Series outdraws the Big Ten tournament.
And it's not even close.
What does that say?
It's not even close. All right.
That's not even real baseball, so.
Oh. After 3:19, and we're going to bring in our friend Randy Krejci right now and get an update on what's happening at the state tennis tournament, which begins its two-day run today. Goes through tomorrow as well for the boys and two venues, and we're going to get up to the moment, the latest information with Randy right here. And Randy, thanks for joining us, hopping on, and what do we got as far as state tennis today?
Good to talk to you and Mark today. So anyway, we'll start off with the superlative coach of the Xavier Saints up there in Class 1A at Burns Park, and the fabulous freshman, Charlie LeGrand. He's a first-team Mississippi Valley Conference player as a ninth grader, and he's third-seeded in this tournament. He opened with the win over Bo Bush of Pella, only gave up one game there, then easily won over Storm Lake. So he's already in the semifinals. Also in singles, a senior, Ryan Schmidt, who was a second-team all-conference selection. He opened with a win over Ben Van Gorp of Pella, 6-1, 6-1, and is now playing the number one seed, Caden Branham of Decorah. In doubles, they got a district champion to the state tournament. That's Garrett Nurse and Jacob Schmidt. They won easily over Boone and then had the unenviable task of facing the Wallard Golden Eagles, the number two seed, which is Charlie Curtis and Roan Martineau, and a very competitive match, but they Xavier came up short 6-4, 6-4. And then the class of the Northeast Iowa Conference, Waverly Shell Rock, had the fourth-seeded doubles team of Benny Ramker and Luca Myers, and they beat Fairfield easily in their opener and then defeated Lamar's in straight sets. So they're also in the semifinals tomorrow, and will face the number one seed, the top team from Pella. Also, classes, we move to Class 2A. Tommy Neff, of course, is the MVC Coach of the Year in Class 2A in that league. And but they came up short in terms of tough draws. Nicholas Burkamper, a first-team all-conference selection, faced right out of the chute third-seeded Quinn Monson of Waukee and lost in that match. And then the doubles team, Brock Davis and Logan Sherman, they played against the Linmar top duo. So it was a Mississippi Valley Conference encounter with Malcolm Rice and Zach Mersch, and Rice and Mersch were victorious in that one, but then they fell to the top seeds from the Waukee Northwest, the new school there in Waukee, in the quarterfinal round. So now Rice and Mersch will be competing in the consolation. And then of course in singles, from Cedar Rapids Prairie, the athlete of the year, Anthony Schulte, the number one player for the Prairie Hawks. He comes in as the number four seed, and he opened with the win over Miles Steffenmeyer, 6-2, 6-2. And then he also won a quarterfinal win over a top player from Marshalltown. So he is in the semis tomorrow. Iowa City West had six players actually make it to state, and in singles, Jaden Shin of Iowa City West beat his city rival, Abe Anil, 6-1, 6-2, but then Shin lost in the quarterfinals to Caden Taylor of Waukee Northwest. And then Jonathan Fan at least got started with a big win over Jake Altos, the great number one player for Dubuque Hempstead, and both of the doubles teams won their openers, and they're still playing in the doubles quarterfinal round. So that kind of brings us up to date, and then tomorrow we'll join you and we'll know the semis and finals at both sites for Class 1A and Class 2A, and the schedule for the finals will be around 1:30, so we may even have a champion, and they play through eight places, and so we'll have those finishes tomorrow when we join you on the gym class.
All right. Thanks, Randy. Appreciate it. Great job by the locals today, and we'll talk with you tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good. Take care, Mark and Scott.
All right. There you go, Randy Krejci updating us up to the minute as far as state tennis is concerned. 3:24, we're going to get to Cal Eldred coming up in just a little bit, but going to throw it over to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's. They're on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. And they're open at 4 o'clock. Beautiful night to be out on the patio. Have I said how beautiful it is outside today often enough? Eat local, try their burgers and fries. They're made fresh daily. Or wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar. And bring the whole family for friendly service in the dining area or on the patio at Emil's Hideaway.
Iowa's 13-3 first-round victory in the Big Ten tournament over Michigan, powered by Cedar Rapids Jefferson's Braden Frazier, who hit a grand slam to force some separation between the two teams. The Hawks will play Thursday against the winner of the current game, Indiana and Illinois. In the Division II Junior College Softball World Series, Kirkwood opened with a 13-1 victory over Danville. The reward is a 1 p.m. matchup tomorrow against Murray State Junior College, which is 57-0.
Okay. To be the best, you have to beat the best.
Graham Rahal back in the Indianapolis 500. He's going to replace Stephon Wilson, who suffered an injury. So the Rahal name is back in the field. And finally, Stanford's Rose Zhang. You say there may never be another Tiger Woods? Remember this name. She won the Division I individual golf championship for the second straight year. 12th career win, surpassing the Stanford school record of Woods, Maverick McNeely, and Patrick Rogers. She's a mere sophomore.
Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure what her plans are. If she's thinking about, and it, you know, the going into the LPGA or whatnot. You know, golf is it's an interesting situation with NIL as well. I mean, you're not getting the big six-figure deals, seven-figure deals that basketball, football players are getting, you know, whether you're women's basketball or men's basketball. But she's doing okay.
Lorena Ochoa put together quite a college career. Zhang is on par with her. Except for Zhang has two NCAA championships, but just when you think another one won't come along, they come along.
Rose Zhang is really going to take the LPGA by storm whenever she decides to go out there. She is that good. She is that good. And yeah, tell you what, Braden Frazier today, you don't see many home runs go out of this park in Omaha. And he put a jolt in it. And good for him. I always thought he was a very underrated player when he came out of Jefferson. Really, really good athlete and helping out the Hawkeyes.
Really is, and he's had a really good year, and Iowa's still without Keaton Anthony and a couple others who are apparently be under possible NCAA violations. But the Hawks still playing good. Still a very good team, Marcus Morgan. Got the ball to start, and Iowa got some good relief pitching as well.
40th win today, and I think that there's no doubt Iowa's a regional team.
I think so.
If they went 0-2 after dropping one game to Northwestern, maybe a little doubt creeped in, but I don't see how you can keep Iowa out now. The worst they're going to be is 40-15, and they were a third seed. They were at least shown to be a third seed in all the projections. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be fine. So we'll see. We're trying to get something together to talk Iowa baseball, but that was part of our little talk at the beginning of the show today, because if the Hawks lost today, they would have played tomorrow night, and then we could have lined up somebody to talk Iowa baseball, hopefully with them winning tomorrow night, still in it. But now they're going to be playing Thursday during our show. So, obviously, anybody that is covering the team is going to be watching said team. So, that's going to be difficult. But we got our best man on it. Isaac is coming up with plans. No pressure, Isaac.
I think you're setting me up here a little bit. You're setting the bar a little bit too high.
No, No.
Okay, fine. I'll try my best.
I've got confidence in you. You cannot let me down, man. You cannot let me down.
We will check the job description after the show.
All right. Coming up on 3:30, we're going to take a break. Come back. Cal Eldred set to join us. Got a couple of questions for Cal all ready to go. If you have one, 319-366-1600. It is the Gym Class here at KGYM. Each and every day presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. We'll be back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine today, a little hazy at times, but nice and comfortable and warm. Temperatures will be climbing into the low 80s. Tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies and drop down into the mid-50s. Then, as we head into tomorrow, we'll climb up into the 80s, but winds will pick up out of the east as a cold front moves through. That will lead to cooler air in place for the end of the week. Temperatures will be in the 70s on Thursday and Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Maintaining your yard is easy with Greenworks outdoor power equipment. There's no need to mess with oil or gas with a 40-volt cordless push mower. It's powerful, lightweight, and starts instantly with a push of a button. Pick up a Greenworks 40-volt push lawnmower for just $299.99 after 11% off. Good to May 29th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Opening to the public in September 2023, it's Pin Seekers with two levels of year-round entertainment featuring 56 all-weather luxury golf suites, smart target greens, 18 holes of authentic mini golf, 6 lanes of duck pin mini bowling, multi-sport simulators, event space, and so much more. For a limited time, get your individual or family membership and save over $500 while also receiving 3 months free. Get your membership or gift card today at pinseekers.golf.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Back with you at 3:32 on the Gym Class for a Tuesday on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. We're brought to you and presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Here on this Tuesday, we've got NBA basketball coming up for you tonight at 7 o'clock. Game 4 with Miami leading 3-0 over the Boston Celtics. We'll see if they put it away tonight in South Beach. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class. And every other Tuesday, we talk MLB with our friend Cal Eldred, who is set to join us here. Is Cal, of course, former major leaguer, Urbana native, and former Royals pitching coach here on a Tuesday in Eastern Iowa. This makes you want to go to the ballpark this weather, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, no doubt. And, you know, there's all levels of games being played right now, so there's no shortage of baseball to go find and watch.
That's right. And a good win for the Hawkeyes today.
Well, that's good. You know, that it's a... It's something that momentum is what you want at this time of year in college baseball. There's no doubt about it.
And there's no way they can't be a regional team now, right?
You know, I haven't followed them that closely, but I think that it's – you look back, obviously everybody that, you know, is familiar with it is looking what, you know, ranked teams have they played, how well did they play against them, how many wins do they have, how has the conference done overall. So – there's a lot of factors in this, and unfortunately, there'll be some disappointed teams once those names come out, but you hope the Hawkeyes aren't one of them.
Cal, a couple division leaders really have some ticklish pitching problems because of injuries. 0945 on the text sign is wondering if there's any reason that a pitching staff such as the Braves have so many guys hurt this season. And my end of it is the Dodgers, who have, I think, a half a dozen pitchers on the injured list, including three starters.
You know, Mark, the thing is that and this may be it in my mind when I see this, there's a cost for playing October baseball. And when it runs into November or close to it, those extra innings, the intensity of them, you know, they are costly. And you've seen players, very good players. The name I think of is Verlander, who is Scherzer, who have missed time, and those guys have pitched a lot in the playoffs. Houston, same thing. You look at McCullers, who may or may not be back. Had another pitcher that has to have Tommy John, and these are teams that have been in the playoffs repeatedly, and those extra innings in the season has extended, so therefore your offseason shortened. And I know they'd really like to know, the Braves would like to know what the answer is going to be with Max Fried, but it looks like he's going to be out for a while. So, Mark, I think that's one of the main reasons why you see teams that have so many injuries, especially to their starting pitchers.
Hmm. And we're only at the quarter pole, basically.
No doubt.
Of the season. Basically 40 games into a 162-game schedule, so... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe is it a situation, you talked about extra innings, taxing arms, and things like that. And we know what we are going through right now as far as minor league baseball is concerned, major league baseball is concerned, up the ladder. Innings are being cut back, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't see any end to that. In fact, we may see more of that coming up as we go down the line the next few years.
Well, Scott, I think that lends us to, or leads us to a discussion, I think, that what the three of us have had at different times, but there is a significant difference between the way pitchers are trained now than they were if you just keep chopping it up in decades moving back. And being able to play in a couple of those, things did change while I was playing. When you play for, 16 years, you do see things change, some for the better, some for the worse, I think. And right now, there's such an emphasis on every pitch that every pitcher makes, whether it's college or minor leagues or major leagues, that it's their max effort. And that, when you redline all the time, there's a higher risk of injury, especially when these athletes are fine-tuned as much as they are. It's just it can happen.
Cal, a question for you on the text line from 3702. Did you have a pitching coach in high school? And also, did you have a pitch count?
Mark, you probably know the answer to that.
I know the answer to this one.
I'm not coming out of this game.
Hey, the way I look at it, look, it was Urbana High School. We had probably 16 or 17 kids on our high school team. That included our varsity and JV. There were five or six sets of brothers on the team, and lots of times our JV team was just our varsity team with guys playing in different positions. So when I was handed the ball, I expected, and I'm sure Scott Brohammer expected me to throw seven innings. And now it was in lots of times, fortunately, because we were pretty good, we only had to play five. So... The other thing is, though, I was only pitching maybe twice a week. And so Scott Brohammer did a really, really nice job taking care of all of the guys that pitched for us. And you know what? Basically, pretty much everybody pitched. So it was shared. The responsibility was shared. But, it was I did not have a pitching coach. Scott Brohammer did his best to teach me what he knew and learn. And a lot of times my older brother was a pitcher, so I learned a lot from him. And then whoever I watched on television, that was the basics of the pitching coach that I had as a kid.
Let me dovetail off that, Cal, because I know we have several youth coaches, youth parents out there, and let's relate it to the youth level, starting at maybe, I don't know, 9, 10 up to 14 or 15. I remember coaching a very talented player, but I had to call his dad every time I wanted to pitch him and see if he was able. And let's relate that to pitch counts and expectations of youth pitchers.
Well, and 71-48, on top of that, guys, with a very good question, tied back to the number of youth games, starting to reach the generation where those kids are now in getting into pro ball. That kind of first started this whole
thing.
They play
more games than they do in high school.
Oh, yeah. Not even close.
and they travel. You know, I mean, I've talked with J1L from Dugout Sports, and they, you know, he had a team that was in Wisconsin. Teams go to my younger son, Luke, had a team from the Des Moines area, Waukee area, down in St. Louis playing this last weekend. I know there's, you know, people go to Kansas City, Minneapolis. You know, I'm not saying that that's bad, but I do know that when you look at some of the orthopedic surgeons and you know, I think they have done a lot of research into this, and a lot of people have. You have to really be careful how much you do pitch these young kids, and the reason why is they're growing and they're growing so fast. And when you throw a baseball, the upper part of your arm, that elbow or that bone is going to twist each time. The elbow, every time you throw, one throw is enough to blow out your ulnar collateral ligament. You just never know when it's going to happen. But that twist in that bone, you see the spiral fracture up in the bicep area that happens. So I think that pitch counts are good, especially when you get into these tournaments where you're playing five games in 2.5 days and the kid goes from catcher to pitcher, back to catcher. There's a huge responsibility for youth coaches and for these tournaments to make sure that this stuff is watched. And Scott, like you said, it's running all the way to the major leagues. And that's why I say at the major league level, man, your job is to win games. And I think that sometimes even that major league level, we've gone too far and not actually just maxing out what you can get from starting pitchers.
Yeah. Cal Elder joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Let's start off with this. Let's start off talking about Mitch Keller again and Matt Fairfax with a very good question. I know it's only, like we said, a quarter of the way into the season, but is it time to talk about Mitch Keller in the NL Cy Young conversation? It's very early. It's very early.
Yeah, it is. But I think this is what I want people to remember, and this is hard because you guys alluded to 40-some games in, and you're looking around about 50 games in or so, and you're looking around, and he has meant so much to that club already. And when there was a losing streak, he stopped it. And those are what an ace on the staff does that for a team. So this, and it's a long season. There may be a lull in here where he doesn't quite pitch as good, but if he can maintain a decent level, then he has a chance to win enough games because his team's good enough, and two, to be able to be in that Cy Young Award conversation. But man, and Mitch knows this, there is a ton of work for him to do. And to stay consistent for that long, then it's not an easy thing to do. Mitch has the stuff to do it, and now he's learning the process of how to make it happen, which is the toughest part.
Cal, Ralph in Riverside would like to know your surprise pitcher in the American League so far.
Man, that's a good question. That puts me on the spot right there.
Just say Sonny Gray and be done with it.
Well, the thing is, we can talk about Sonny because I saw his name jumped out and at me when I'm looking at the pitching statistics. And Sonny, the thing about him, and you know this, Mark, when that guy's healthy, he's as good as anybody in the game. But his consistency so far, just like we're talking about Mitch, has been pretty incredible to me. And they're letting him pitch too, which I think is what Sonny Gray needs to keep those numbers like he is. I'm also going to, you know, somebody, I saw something. I know the Cleveland Guardians have had enough more save opportunities than anybody else. And you see their closer, Class A, has 16 saves. Mm-hmm. And they haven't won many more games than that. So when I see that, he's not necessarily surprised because his stuff's so good, but he's getting the job done. When I see that, but Sonny Gray, you're probably right. He's the guy that probably deserves the nod because, man, he has absolutely been dominant.
Tyler Wells, too. Tyler Wells of Baltimore. Been very, very good. Speaking of the Orioles, my adopted team, second best record in Major League Baseball right now. Still not in first place, but they've moved within three suddenly of the Tampa Bay Rays. Again, it's very early. Very, very early. But man alive, this Baltimore team, and I've said it all year, they're fun to watch. They are they play baseball the right way.
I couldn't have said it any better, Scott, because we trying to game plan for that team. Not all their hitters are the same. Most of them have enough power to leave the ballpark. They're going to get Urias back here at some point, but they also run the bases well. They play small ball when they have to. Every one of them, when you watch the lineup and you go through the lineup, you're not really guessing, you know, there's not a Stanton or a Judge in that lineup. But they all have power, and they do play the game the right way. There's no doubt. So they're fun to watch. They take tough at-bats. But you know what? Like you said, Tyler Wells has been pitching good. Their pitching has been exceptional. And they've done a nice job putting together a bullpen, too, that closes games down. You watch their games, they're always close unless they're the team that's scoring a lot of runs.
Kel, I don't want this to get too deep, but in preparing for the show today, I was thinking, what one word describes both major league pitchers and hitters? And I came up with the word adjusting. And... You know, with all the analytics out there, people have a book on everybody. So how do pitchers or hitters gain an advantage? Is it guessing? Is it being smarter? Again, I don't want to get too deep on this, but I see, you know, one trying to get an advantage over the other.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. It's John Mabry and I have had multiple conversations about this, Mark. And John is now the assistant hitting coach with the Marlins. He was assistant hitting coach with the Royals up through last year. And, you know, John's seen this a lot. Since he's seeing it from the hitting standpoint, I'm seeing it from the pitching standpoint. Adjustments is absolutely perfect. The other thing is execution. Those two words to me, when you can adjust from a pitcher standpoint, I've seen, and Zach Greinke's a guy, very good example. And you'll see Verlander, when Verlander went on a really unbelievable stretch last year, he was just pounding people with fastballs early in the count. And then when the team started seeing that, they started going after his fastball, he makes the adjustment and starts throwing off speed pitches early on. Didn't matter who the team he was facing. It was what he was able to do. And Zach does the same thing. When you face teams and hitters multiple times, they know what you have. So you have to be able to not only change the pitch you throw, but the execution of the pitch has to happen. It's the same thing as you watch Jose Ramirez, a hitter with Cleveland. Great hitter. When there's times when he decides, I'm going after that first pitch, I'm not going to, and then there's other times he's going to work the count. Those are adjustments. But he still has to execute when he gets the pitch he's looking for, or there's a mistake made. You've got to execute with a good swing and put the barrel on the ball. So that's why guys are major leaguers. And to hang around for a long time, at any time during this, the game in the past and today, you've got to do both of those.
Mm-hmm. Is Bob Melvin's not in trouble in San Diego, is he? I mean, it's, again, early, but, man, he – came out in the last 10 days or so, ripped into his team. They haven't really responded. They're in fourth place now in the NL West. There were a ton of expectations, especially after beating the Dodgers last year for San Diego, and they have not met them this year.
No, they've not met them, but I also think they haven't gotten themselves so far behind that they can't catch up. The toughest thing is what Mark brought up earlier. You guys talked about the Dodgers and their pitching staff being, you know, having a lot of injuries. As they get healthy, they're going to be tough to catch because their offense is really, really good. And the Diamondbacks aren't going anywhere. The Giants have actually played better too. So that division is kind of stepping up. Bob Melvin last year, if I remember right, fellas, he laid into his team at some point in the season, and they stepped it up. They got it moving. So obviously this is a tactic that he's trying, and I know Bob, that's not his personality. His personality is let guys do their thing, laid back. So if he's going to do that, then, you know, I think he's worrying about his job, but I think that with the talent they have, I think they're just going to stay the course, because some of these players, they're underachieving, and they need to get everybody going in the right direction, especially offensively.
Cal, you made many trips to the mound as a major league pitching coach. I wonder, in your experience, say a guy walks a guy, hits a guy, all of a sudden it's first and second, nobody out. Is it more mechanical? Is it mental? Does it depend on the pitcher? What's been your experience?
Well, I think whatever has happened, it depends a lot on the mentality of the pitcher. Because if there's pitchers that can handle you going out to the mound and giving them a piece of mechanical advice, if it's something you see something that they're doing mechanically, there's pitchers that can handle that, and there's pitchers that can't. And those guys that can't, then you just deal with the psychological aspect of what's going to happen next. For me, when I went to the mound, Mark and Scott, I wanted to make sure that when I left that mound, the pitcher knew exactly what he needed to do next, even if it was just the next pitch, to get ahead in the count or to get the guy out. Here's our plan that you can have to get this guy out. You have the stuff to do it, and now we just need to make pitches, and you're capable of doing that. So you're in there, and you don't have much time, but, boy, you got to give some good information quickly, and it's got to be in a way that it boosts their confidence. And, fellas, it's a lot easier said than done sometimes with guys, because they feel the pressure at that point in time.
Please tell me there's going to be at least one team in both central divisions that's going to finish over 500. I know you can't guarantee that.
Well, you know, and I started watching Burns last night, and the thing, and I've talked about this before, but when you look at the run differential for these teams, and obviously the teams that are in last in those divisions, they're being outscored, and it's not so bad. They're all kind of close together in the National League Central, and St. Louis has been playing a lot better, fellas. They really have. They need to figure out some consistent starting pitching, and that will help them a lot. But Mark, your Twins, they've had the opportunity to run away with this thing. They really have. And you look at the White Sox, who have played better, and Detroit's an off and on. Cleveland has not. Cleveland is going to play better, guys. I'm just telling you. Their offense is not this bad, but they're still doing one thing offensively that is really good, and they're not striking out. Yeah. And so they just need to find other ways to get on base. They're going to play better. And I don't say that to scare you, Mark, but, man, Minnesota, they've pitched really well, and they should be in a better position. But when you look at the Minnesota Twins are the only positive run differential team in the American League Central. Whew, Mark, there may only be one team in that division with a record above 500 at the end of this year.
And the differential is big between the other teams. And it's been lack of clutch hitting. More times than not, bases loaded, nobody out, and
not
you
scoring.
Don't score. So that's the big bugaboo right now for me.
Yeah, you saw that, and I'm going to flip over to the other game. You saw that in the Cincinnati-St. Louis game last night. You saw the Cardinals have Cincinnati gets bases loaded, and they don't score. And Cincinnati, and then St. Louis does the same exact thing, and it's. Man, I'm telling you, it's that you have to. That's exactly. They're not scoring with runners in scoring position, and that's been Cleveland's issue. It's been Detroit's issue, and Minnesota's usually done a pretty good job of it. But they are Minnesota's striking out a lot too. They need to. That's something their offense needs to stop.
Somebody's going to finish over 500 in the Central. I'm going to go out on a limb in both leagues, right there.
Man, I'll tell you, Scott, though, because they have to play everybody, this is why you're seeing these divisions that aren't as good paying the price.
Yeah, and they don't have as nearly as many games now with this new scheduling within the division as they did in the past. So that's going to be the telltale sign right there. All right, Cal, appreciate it as always. We'll talk in a couple of weeks. Take care. Enjoy the baseball, man.
You bet. You too.
All right. Cal Elder joining us here on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Always good to catch up with Cal. At the Big Ten Baseball Tournament, Illinois took a 1-0 lead, but now Indiana has tied it up in the bottom of the fifth inning. Back-to-back hits, a double, and an RBI single. Runner on first, one out. It's 1-1 between the Hoosiers and the Illini. Winner of this one will get Iowa, a Hawkeyes winner earlier today, 13-3 in 8 innings over the Michigan Wolverines. So Rick Keller and the Hawkeyes will play on Thursday afternoon against the winner of this game between Illinois and Indiana. Good show today. Coming up tomorrow, we got a good show as well. Mark Janes will join us, the voice of the Indianapolis 500. We'll preview the greatest spectacle in racing. And also Chris Liss will join us to talk fantasy baseball, a little fantasy football, if you have a question as well. So we'll do that coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM as we enjoy this beautiful day here in eastern Iowa. And Todd Rommelkamp show next. He'll keep you updated on what is happening in Omaha between Illinois and Indiana. And have more for you from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And then tonight it'll be the Heat and the Celtics. Do you believe it ends tonight, gentlemen? Isaac says yes. You think it's over tonight?
Yeah, I think the Celtics are just demoralized. I just don't think the team is there mentally anymore. I think they are ready to go home.
All right. Mark says yes. You're
nodding my head.
Nodding your head. Yeah, I think Boston might win, but we'll see. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 on the Gym Class, KGYM.
It's not a rumor. I'm back. And in my first Netflix show, FUBAR, ready to get pumped up to crush every episode, to see things explode before you, and to burst out laughing with your women. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you're only going to get all of the high-octane action that I have to offer. Bullet trains, helicopter